Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. The biggest blaze in the modern history of Los Angeles County may well yet set another record. The most Americans exposed at one time to the pollution generated by wildfire. About 18 million people live in Greater Los Angeles, a region that all too often tops the list of the nation's worst air quality. So, what does the addition of all that smoke into already smoggy L.A. mean for public health? From Los Angeles, Living on Earth's Ingrid Lobet reports that it's not just the people with respiratory problems who are at risk.
Westerners are used to fire and getting more used to it, but this most recent inferno right on L.A.'s north flank impressed even the battle-worn.
This really has been a terrible catastrophe, and it's so widespread. I mean, the volume, the mass, the size of this is just unbelievable.
Dr. Ed Avel is a 40-year resident of the city. He's also an air pollution expert who teaches at USC Medical School. Dr. Avel says smoke is filled with tiny particles. It's an especially intense form of air pollution.
Well, the levels have been pretty extraordinary. Some of the inland valleys and across most of the city, you can see the smoke sort of pervade everywhere. The levels are in some places 10 or even 20 times above the standards, so they really are quite dramatically high.
Dr. Avel says many people mistakenly believe that it's those with asthma who suffer most from the fires.
Asthmatics tend to sort of be more aware of their body, more aware of their response to their surroundings, and tend to take personal protective behavior. And so where the asthmatic child, for example, might say, I just don't quite feel right, I'm going to not exercise as much today, their healthy peer may just go out and run around and overexpose themselves. And in fact, we've done studies that have reported that it's that group of non-asthmatics that we see larger effects than the asthmatic children. And that, of course, covers a much larger group.
The percentage of the population that's really at risk is probably much greater than we talk about in the mass media.
Mark Morocco is a supervising emergency room doctor and an associate professor at UCLA Medical School. He also says people underestimate exactly who is affected by smoke.
In fact, if you want to be really realistic about it, you probably should include everybody who breathes, even those folks who are healthy and essentially have no respiratory or cardiopulmonary problems or would put themselves in a category like that, are probably at some risk.
Your body uses mucus to trap particles, viruses, and bacteria. Tiny hair-like cilia line the airways and help move that mucus out of the body. But smoke slows the action of the cilia, leaving irritants and pathogens freer to move deep into the lungs and set up shop there.
So once you are exposed to smoke and you begin to have these problems, we know that you are at increased risk for any kind of infection. And so we could see a real uptick in our flu season. We could see an increasing number of cases of bacterial pneumonias in especially elderly and immunocompromised folks, folks who have other health problems.
These acute effects, Dr. Morocco says, are well known. Both experts agree what's unknown are the long-term effects. Again, Dr. Ed Avel.
The big question we don't all know yet is whether repeated short insults like this lead to some sort of permanent deleterious event, you know, where the tipping point is.
Can two weeks of fire every year for your first 7 years of life cause asthma?
Right. That's the question that we don't really know. I mean, clearly these insults, because when the levels are so high and the pollution levels are so high that you're getting dramatically increased exposure, whether this leads to some sort of lifelong problem while your lungs are growing, while your systems are developing, really I think is an issue that, you know, we ought to be concerned about and thinking about.
And both Drs. Avel and Morocco say climate models that predict more heat and dryness in the western U.S. give them pause thinking about people's exposure to fire and smoke. Dr. Morocco.
If it turns out that the models that are postulated are true and we go into having sort of a 12-month fire season, we're going to spend our time essentially in an experiment where we're exposed to particulate matter continuously, where you'll essentially be immersed in a soup for a long time. And then there's no telling what that will do in terms of long-term health care and public health. But in terms of short-term public health, I think we're bound to see many people with more acute and more life-threatening pulmonary illnesses all around the calendar.
Dr. Morocco says physicians will treat these patients as best they can, one by one. But fire and smoke raise larger questions, such as how many of us live near the tinder dry woods, and even which cars we drive, far beyond the firelands. For Living on Earth, I'm Ingrid Lobet in Los Angeles.